Scripture reading this morning will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Thank you, brother, for that reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Likening the word of God to pure milk. Thank you so much for being in our worship assembly today to worship God. We're delighted that you are here. We hope that you brought your Bible and we'll be willing to follow along as we look into the word of God and see some things that might help us in our spiritual lives to walk closer to God. God will bless you if you serve Him in this life. If you think about it, it's a tragedy when the growth of a child is stunted in some way. If you, for example, think in your imagination about, say, maybe a five-year-old child who just all of a sudden stops growing, and weeks pass, months pass, years pass, and that child doesn't grow anymore, we would look at that and we would contemplate that something has to be tragically wrong with that child. And we would want to do everything that would be possible for us to do to correct that situation, to remedy that situation. Imagine, if you will, a child who continues to grow and mature intellectually and emotionally, but his body just never develops physically. Intellectually and emotionally, he's an adult. But in body, when you look at that person, he's a 7 or 8 year old. Imagine a child whose body continues to grow and mature to a full-grown adult body, but intellectually and emotionally, he quits developing at a very young age. And even when he gets to be what you would look at on the outside as an old person or a gray-haired old person, he's still thinking and acting like a 9 or 10 year old. Or imagine visiting a home where there are 2 teenagers and all they eat is baby food. And maybe one of them had left baby food and gone to eat some solid food for a while, but then came back to the baby food. And all they want to eat is baby food. Wouldn't you kind of think that that was somewhat strange? And maybe there was an underlying problem there that needed to be corrected. When these kinds of things really happen, it would be a terrible tragedy. And everybody would think of it as a terrible tragedy. And if it were your child, you would do everything in your power to find a solution to that, to fix it, wouldn't you? But the spiritual equivalents of these things happen to Christians all the time. And most of us seem to think very little about it. God intends for every child of His to grow and mature until he achieves his full spiritual potential. As Paul mentioned in Ephesians 4, 14 and 15, we are no longer to be children, but we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. And in the text of our lesson this morning in 1 Peter 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. But think about the fact that a Christian needs to grow in every aspect of spirituality. His spiritual growth needs to be balanced, so to speak. The Christian must grow in a lot of different things, in knowledge, in faith, in grace, in love. Many things like that depict the character of Christ. For example, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. In Ephesians 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. It will not do for us as Christians to select some single area wherein we desire to grow to the exclusion of other areas where we could grow to be more like Christ, becoming indifferent to those. It won't do for a Christian to be full of faith, but unloving to his brethren at the same time. A normal, healthy Christian is one who is growing or growing up in all aspects into Christ, Ephesians 4:15. His aim is this: when I grow up, I want to be like Christ. 1 John 4 and verse 17 in the New International Version, 1 John 4:17 reads this way: in this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence that on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like Him. We are like Him. That is the way that Christians grow in this life that pleases God, to be like Christ. And so in our lesson this morning, let us think about some scriptures that show us that when a Christian's spiritual growth is stunted, of course it is a terrible tragedy. And we ought to do everything that we can to find out what is wrong and to fix that. And we'll see that scriptures encourage us to think about some things that can hinder our spiritual growth, so we can be aware of those. And we can put those off or fight against those and not be overcome in our desire to grow spiritually. And today in our lesson this morning, if you are a person who realizes that you're not growing spiritually as you should, maybe these scriptures will help provide an answer for you that will help you overcome that problem and stimulate your spiritual growth. I hope so. What are some things that might hinder spiritual growth, that might fight against us in this effort to grow spiritually? There can be in a person's life a sense of no real purpose. There can be in the life of a Christian a sense of no real purpose. Many Christians don't know what they are supposed to be growing into. What direction do we grow? What are we growing to be like? What are we trying to do when we grow spiritually? What is your goal as a Christian while living in this world? There are a lot of Christians that are unclear about that, I think. It is to grow up in all aspects into Him, into Christ, who is the head in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. That is making us consider the question, do I really want to be like Christ? Do you want to be just like Jesus is, for example, in purity of life? Jesus was tempted in all things like we are, yet He was without sin in the Hebrews 4 and verse 15. He always said no to sin. Is that what I want to grow into? To be a person who always says no to sin? If I don't really want that for my life, that ought to tell me something about my desire to grow, if it is really there or not. Do you want to be just like Jesus in moral courage? He had the moral courage and the strength to stand up against religious hypocrisy in His day, for example, to expose the hypocrites and the false teachers, no matter who they were, and no matter what sort of power they had to cause Him harm. Matthew 23, 1 through 12, Jesus talked about the hypocrites in order to warn his listeners of the danger of being guilty of hypocrisy. And then in the rest of the chapter, Matthew 23, 13 through 35, Jesus talked directly to the hypocrites to condemn them. I want to have that kind of same moral courage that Jesus had, that I can speak for God when the occasion demands it to be so. Do you want to be just like Jesus in compassion and willingness to forgive? He was certainly a compassionate person, certainly a person who was willing to forgive and taught other people to forgive. When all of the accusers of the woman who was taken in adultery departed, being convicted by their conscience, he said to that woman, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she replied, "There is no one to accuse." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more." His example was great of being a person who was very compassionate, very willing to forgive, giving people the opportunity to make changes in their lives and to forgive them. His attitude toward those that nailed him to the cross: "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Jesus could forgive anybody of anything, even those who put him on the cross unjustly. He could do that. He could pray for their forgiveness, work for their forgiveness. I want to be like that too. Don't you? And also, do you want to be just like Jesus in determination to do the will of the Father in all things? Not just the things that will be easy for you to do, not just the things that maybe you would like to do, leaving off others. Do you want to be a person who wants to do the will of God in all things? That's the kind of person that Jesus was, wasn't it? John 6 and verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, it takes a great deal of determination on the part of an individual to live according to someone else's will and not their own, doesn't it? Jesus is that type of person. In John 8, 28 and 29, "I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. I always do the things that are pleasing to him," Jesus said. Is that what I want to be like? Is that what you want to be like? It takes a growth process to get there. But that should be our aim, shouldn't it? Not to go through life as a Christian, but really not having any real sense of purpose. That could hinder our spiritual growth. Just a lack of effort could hinder our spiritual growth. Growing spiritually is not something that just happens automatically. We have to put forth the effort to do that. Months and years, a lot of times, can pass without there being any spiritual growth at all. That's not good. It's not good for me as a believer. It's not good for the body of believers of which I am a part. Hebrews 5, 12 and 13. Paul wrote to those Christians and said, "By this time, you ought to have been something, but you're not really." In this case, he says, you ought to have been teachers, but your need really is for someone to teach you again the first principles, elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. You've come to need baby food again, is what he's saying spiritually to these people. He says, "Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant." We must become accustomed to the word of righteousness because we know what it is and we strive to live it. That's part of our growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul wrote to them and said, "Brethren, I can't speak to you as spiritual men, but I have to speak to you as babes." And there was a reason for that. It was because they hadn't grown as they should. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, he said, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking as mere men? Are you not doing the kind of things that indicate that you haven't grown enough, and so I can't feed you with meat, I have to give you milk, is the idea. Spiritual growth and progress requires effort. It requires diligent effort. If we don't put forth that effort, it hinders our spiritual growth. If we don't have the right kind of exercise, we can't develop the strength where we need it. And spiritually speaking is what we're talking about. An example of this would be when Paul wrote Timothy and said in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, have nothing to do with the worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So we must exercise ourselves in the right kind of things. And the Lord tells us what those right kind of things are. Godliness, being like God, the characteristics of God. And we see those when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, don't we? We can be hindered in our spiritual growth by too many distractions. Too much going on in our life, too much happening in this world that catches our attention. And Jesus warned people of the danger of such distractions when he described in the parable of the soils, or the parable of the sower, whichever you choose to call that, that some seed fell among the thorns, and these are ones who have heard, and they go their way, and they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Spiritual growth brings fruit to maturity. But there can be distractions. And distractions of what type? Jesus tells us. Worries, riches, pleasures of this life that can capture our attention and take our focus away from Jesus Christ. And we can become overcome. The Word of God can be choked out of our lives. And we can be unfruitful. We want to be fruitful as growers of the spiritual fruits in our lives. Discouraging experiences that happen in life can be a hindrance to our spiritual growth. Some people make a good beginning a lot of times, but sometimes discouragements come, trials, trying circumstances, and people quit. There can be many reasons for this: church troubles, personal problems, lack of encouragement from other people, lack of support from other people and what we're trying to do and how we're trying to live. Your family's opposed to you, or you're embracing the truth, or some such as that. Those situations can be very discouraging. But when we look at the life of the Apostle Paul and consider the problems that he had, that he lists for us in 2 Corinthians 11, and even he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, we're afflicted in every way. But he says we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through chapter 5 and verse 1, he says this: therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is renewed day by day. The renewing of the inner man day by day is what prevents the loss of one's faith, the decaying away of his spiritual integrity. If we don't renew ourselves, we can very easily lose heart. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. Paul focuses on the hope that he has as a believer, that eternal kingdom. And what's necessary for me to get there is to renew that inner man day by day and not be overcome, not lose heart in the face of trials and difficulties. Paul's a great example of that. If he can do it, we can do it too. There are some things given for us in the Scriptures that will help us to grow and mature spiritually. And there are several passages of Scriptures, but just to focus in on a few this morning that can help us. John 15, 1 and 2 is interesting in that we need to understand spiritual growth is necessary for our salvation. Jesus said, "I am the true vine," in John 15. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 through chapter 4 and verse 1. "And may the Lord cause you to increase and to abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you," He said, "so that He may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction, as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more and more," He said. Later in that book, in chapter 4, 9 and 10, He says this, "Now as to the love of brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more." You know, don't get to the point where you grow to a measure and you realize you possess a characteristic and you say, "Okay, that's good enough." You know, He's saying, grow more and more. Excel still more and more. In this case, He's talking about brotherly love. If you have your Bible with you, please look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. This has always been a passage to me that is very significant for the believer. And especially when believers contemplate the subject of spiritual growth. I'd like to show you some things in this passage. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Follow with me in your Bible, if you will. "For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours," note this, "if these qualities are yours, and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Do you realize the wonderful guarantee that we have from God in this passage? You will never stumble. You know, what does that say? There will not be anything that will knock you off the course to God. There will not be anything that will overthrow your faith. There will not be any trap that will trap you and cause you to lose your eternal salvation. But there's something you must do. And what is that? These qualities being yours and increasing. Guaranteed, you will never stumble. And such a glorious entrance into his eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you that it will overwhelm you. That's what I want. Is that what you want today? Don't you want that entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will be not just kind of handed off to you, but abundantly supplied to you, Peter says? If these qualities are yours, what qualities? Faith, moral excellence, knowledge of what? Christ, God, reality, truth, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, fruits of the Spirit. If they are yours, if these qualities are yours and increasing in you, he's saying if you're a believer and you're growing spiritually in these areas, God's going to save you. He's going to give you his eternal kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? As a believer, isn't that really wonderful? Some things that will help us grow spiritually. We have to understand that spiritual growth is necessary for us. We have to make up our mind that growing and maturing in Christ, to be a Christ-like person, is what I really want. And it's what you really want. Paul said, I count all things to be lost by the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. If there's anything in my life that stands in the way between me and being like Christ, I need to reevaluate the value I place on that. And count it as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness derived from law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. A glorious resurrection from the dead, I might add. Not that I have already obtained it, Paul says, or have already become perfect. Paul's not saying, I'm done with the growth process because I finally arrived at maturity and perfection. He's not saying that at all. He's saying the opposite of that. But he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself to have laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that synonymous with saying, I'm continuing to grow spiritually? I think it is, but with a little more detail. Don't you? Help us grow spiritually, Lord. Give us what we need. Let us make up our minds. That's what we want. And in order to do that, in order to grow spiritually as we should, one thing we have to do is we have to take a look at ourselves once and again to see where we are, what we're doing, where our strengths and weaknesses are, so that we may work on our weaknesses. Don't you think self-examination is important? Especially in view of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, when he said, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, he says. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? Examine yourselves. Look at yourselves. Is Christ in you, is what he's asking? If you're a believer, he should be. The meaning is really keep on examining yourselves. Keep on proving or testing yourselves. When Paul says in Philippians 3, 12 and 13, not that I've already obtained or have already become perfect, and I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, it is evident that he had examined himself in view of God's perfect standard, isn't it? In comparison with Christ. And he realizes in his own life there's still room for growth. There's still room for growth. When I look at my life, there's still room for growth. When you look at your life, is there still room for growth? Here are some questions we should be asking ourselves, I think. Am I really growing in the virtues that Peter mentions in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7? Do I really have it in my mind to be a partaker of the divine nature? The nature of the divine. Characteristics of the divine. Am I looking at the characteristics of Christ and saying, I need to possess those? I'd like to increase in those. I want to be a more loving person, a compassionate person, a forgiving person. I want to tell people about the gospel of Christ that will save them. I want to do everything that I can to help others as I go through this life. I want to be less concerned about my own personal interests. I want to help other people to grow spiritually. Is my progress and growth evident to everyone who knows me? Is a question we might ask ourselves. Do I really know substantially more about God's Word today than I did at this point last year? If I didn't, I've fallen off in that area, and I need to fix that. Am I still teachable? Am I still able to be corrected by one who should and correct me and would be good for me to be corrected? Do I still listen to the voice of my Father when he wants to guide me in the right way? Am I more diligent in my efforts to teach others about Christ? Am I improving my personal disposition? If I've been a person in the past who sometimes my anger and temper get the best of me, have I improved that? Have I worked on that? Have I made that somewhat better? Am I enjoying life as a child of God? Am I rejoicing more every day? Am I less burdened by the anxieties and the difficulties of living life in a godless world? Am I setting an example before other Christians that is good? Am I really becoming more like Christ every day? I guess that's really the key question. Am I really becoming more like Christ? The good things of the life of the Christian are for the diligent person, because the diligent person will take it upon himself to grow spiritually. And we need encouragement from other believers to grow spiritually and to be what we ought to be. We need that. We all need that. We need to increase our zeal and not be lukewarm in our faith for Jesus Christ. The blessings that God has in store for Christians are for those who grow and those who become fruitful and increase in that fruitfulness. Important things, I think, from the Word of God. about growing. And if we wanted to go through a list of all the problems that we would see in a failure to grow, we'd be here quite a long time. So we won't think about that today. Let's think about growth and how we can grow together to be more like Christ and how we can help each other to do that. If you're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian, you can start on the path of spiritual growth to be more like Christ every day. That opportunity is available for you right now in this assembly. These believers will be supportive of you. They'll be praying for you. They'll help you in any way that they can. If you want to become a Christian, they'll try to do everything they can to help you to be strong and to overcome difficulties that would hinder your spiritual growth so that you can be more and more like Christ every day. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Are you willing to confess Him before men? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Will you be baptized in water for the remission of sins, raised to walk in newness of life as a Christian, one who grows to be more like Christ every day? If that's your desire today, and we can help you, please let us know by coming to the front, having a seat while we stand and encourage you by singing this song.